If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So, Eric, should we start with personal news or work news?
Personal. Hello.
Eric and I, after more than a year, finally saw each other in person.
We reunited, you guys.
How exciting is that?
It's so exciting. I wish I remembered more of it.
I've never seen you so drunk in my life.
Listen, I don't remember how to party anymore. It's just, it's like, it's beyond me.
Well, I will say it was weird how not weird it was.
Right.
It was for Eric's birthday. Happy birthday,
Thank
Eric.
Thank you.
But I just felt weird. It has been a year, but didn't feel like a year once everyone saw each other. I don't know.
I know.
I'm sure everyone's going through a certain variation of that. But I'm just ready to get back in the studio in person and start recording like normal.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for coming to my party. Thank you, everyone who came to my party. And, you know, next year I will try to not go from beer to tequila slushy to shot of tequila. You know, like, what was I thinking?
Okay, so Bravo news. Well, it's actually Peacock news. Vanderpump Dogs is coming to Peacock on June 9th.
Yes, and you can watch the trailer if you haven't seen it yet at the link in our description. But basically, the show is about Lisa Vanderpump finding little, cute, adorable, scruffy animals homes.
What could be better?
Absolutely nothing.
And I mean, the biggest news, obviously, is that BravoCon 2021 has been announced. We're so excited. So excited, in fact, we recorded a whole bonus episode about it. Please go check it out. It has all the details of BravoCon, and plus we relive the first ever one.
And BravoCon will be October 15th through 17th in New York City. The rest of the details, TBD.
All right, what are we talking about?
Okay, so we have a lot of shows on right now, which is just incredible, but also makes us super busy. We have to start, I think, with Shaw's, the season 9 premiere.
Yes.
We have the season 11 premiere of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We have Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion part 1. Hello. And of course, we got to talk about Roni, episode 3.
Well, let's get into it.
Okay, Shaw's?
Yes. Okay, I have been jonesing for Shaw's. I love this show so much. Last season was crazy because of all of the MJ Reza drama. So I really hadn't heard much about this season. I feel like sometimes internally at, Bravo, we hear like tidbits of like what to expect. And I really didn't get much of that. And so it was all very like, oh my God, what is this season? And the premiere was everything, I thought.
I mean, I didn't know where we were going to pick up with Reza and MJ, because the last thing we saw with the two of them was this FaceTime conversation where it seemed like they had sort of agreed to move forward in whatever way they knew how, right? Like they had kind of come to a resolution. It wasn't like light switch.
Resolution.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it seems like when this season picked up, there hadn't been a lot of progress. They both really hadn't seen each other, hadn't spoken much. And it is kind of interesting to think that they waited till cameras were rolling.
Yeah.
To reunite. You know what I mean?
I wonder if, because I feel like I've heard maybe a little bit of this in like past interviews with Bravo celebrities, that like sometimes when the season ends, it's just like you just need to take a breather. And I wonder if that played into it, where it was like it was so much, especially for last season for them, that they just sort of were like, can I just have a minute, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, you know, when you couple that with the pandemic even, I feel like everyone just needed to take a minute.
Yeah, no, that's true. I was surprised that Reza still up to that point hadn't even met Baby Shams.
I know.
But, you know, the other consideration, and we see it in the conversation with Tommy and MJ, when MJ's like, I'm going to go talk to Reza. You know, I think we need to start rebuilding. And Tommy has his reservations. But I mean, the thing about it is, until the restraining order is gone, there's no way that Tommy can come around Reza, right? So
yeah.
Reza still has this restraining order against him. I think it's for at least 3 years, they mentioned in this episode. So, you know, that's a huge barrier even for MJ to be able to get closer with Reza again.
Also, I love Tommy so much, but I feel like the anger management is not doing wonders, you know. It's maybe helping a little. He's remembering to do his daily gratitudes and all of that. But my God, he really can just get so angry so fast.
But he also sounds angry when he's not angry.
That's
so
true,
that
too.
Is oh, a consideration. My
God. I passed an argument on the street the other day, and it sounded like four Tommies. And I was like, oh, they must be from Queens. But it was just, it sounded exactly like four Tommies, just like, bro.
Yeah, you know, I understand why he's probably still frustrated. He's still upset. It was an attack on his family. But keep going with those daily affirmations, Tommy. You'll get there.
Also, what about Gigi? Like, she's done a complete 180, it seems.
Oh, 100%. And I'm here for it because I've always been fascinated by Gigi. She's just so wild and unpredictable and just out of this world in so many ways. And to see her reverse that and reel it in and embrace motherhood in this way and getting rid of her knives, come on.
I miss my knives.
It's funny because I even had a meeting with a Bravo executive talking about the show. And a couple of people in the meeting were like, oh, Gigi has changed in every way. They're like, it's not just about her on the show. It's like the way she handles, you know, having to do press interviews or, you know, premiere things. They're just like, she's just the most calm person now. And they're so shocked by it.
Do you think it's because she's able to smoke weed again now that she has given birth?
I don't know. Maybe babies really do just like change you. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. It changes your priorities. You know what I
For
mean?
Sure.
So I think the things that used to bother you are not going to bother you as much because you have like baby vomit to clean up. And that just totally shifts how you're approaching the world.
And the fact that she and her sister have made up is more proof that she's changed than anything else, I think.
Oh, yeah. I was really touched by that whole story and knowing that I didn't even think that Gigi would have had limitations being in the hospital and not everyone would be able to be there, like her parents and everything. So to hear that her sister came through in that time of need, that must have repaired so much. Just that one act of her showing up for Gigi in that way.
Absolutely.
My relationship with Layla has never been close.
Why don't you like go get one of your knives and like your taser?
I would
you
love to cut your face with a knife right now.
This is the rehab Vanessa, bitch. And the rehab Vanessa is not taking any more bullshit.
When my sister showed up in the hospital when I was getting that emergency surgery for my ectopic pregnancy.
You're okay, Mama?
We hadn't spoken in years. Knowing that she showed up for that things started getting better.
We have to talk about the mic stuff because I just jaw on the floor the whole episode, I feel.
Well, yeah, okay. So you got to help me here because I'm a little bit lost. He is over here claiming he was hacked, is iCloud something or other. But to me, did he just blow up his own spot?
Yeah, okay. So it sounds like, and you guys can message us if we're getting this wrong, because it does seem complicated. It seems like what Mike is saying is some girl was DMing him sexual things. Someone then hacked into his iCloud and started messaging this person back as him, including sending this woman a naked photo of himself
from years ago.
But he did not send it. What? Like, I also just feel like this is there's an easy way to solve this mystery if you're Paulina. Read those messages. Do they sound like something Mike would say? Because at the beginning of every relationship, you are sexting each other. So
oh, that's a good point.
Are these the kinds of things he used to text you in the beginning? You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. The way Gigi talks about Mike and his approach to sex is different than his approach to a relationship. So I wonder if he did have that phase with Paulina, or if he maybe held her to a different standard. Like he didn't interact with her in the beginning the way that he would interact with some random girl, you know, not to defend his behavior at all, but it just, he might have approached Paulina a lot differently than he would approach someone like whoever this person is.
Interesting approach, by the way, that she sent the messages, the screenshots to all of Mike's friends.
Right. So obviously Mike is wrong in all of this, but what is Paulina playing at by sending the screenshots? Is she trying to embarrass him? Is she, yeah, you know, what is she, what is her goal in all of that?
I feel like maybe in that moment she was done with the relationship and, yeah, wanted to embarrass him. Because I do think Mike embarrasses easily. When everything was happening with Jessica, he made her keep it off of camera. And then remember, that's when she got mad that one time and was like, oh, because we're not supposed to talk about how you cheat on me, right? You know, and to the point he wouldn't even let her go to one of the reunions because he's so careful about his image on the show, yeah. I think.
Side note, Tommy calling Paulina Jessica during his affirmations, not cute.
Oh, God, yes.
That happened on Married to Medicine this week, too.
No, wait, I think, wasn't it MJ? Didn't she call?
No, it was Tommy. Her?
Oh, I think MJ might have, too. I think MJ did.
But wait, did someone else say Jessica? Wait, I think MJ slipped. I think MJ slipped to Tommy when it was just the two of them. But then when Mike and Paulina were over at MJ's, Tommy slipped during his affirmation.
I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my son. I'm grateful for Mike and Jessica.
Mike and Jessica. Oh, Mike and Paulina. Confirmed. That was a slip.
I mean, they both end in A. They're around the same number of syllables. Like, I get it, but.
Yeah, I guess the important thing to note is we should be saying all of this is allegedly, right? Like, Mike is saying he did nothing wrong.
True.
I don't know who here believes that. But that is the story he is sticking to.
The other consideration is if someone were to hack him.
Yeah.
Get into his iCloud, send these naked pictures to this woman, whatever. What is their goal in the whole thing? What do they have against Mike?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think in the trailer for this season, we get these like hints of people who might be out to sabotage Mike and Paulina. There was one line in the trailer, I forget what it was, and it almost implied that it was destiny. It could just be some fancy editing, you know how that goes sometimes. But what would that person's goal be in doing this to Mike?
I also think all of this shouldn't even be a conversation because Paulina says at MJ and Tommy's, it's happened a few times.
Right.
It's happened a few times. It's not the first time.
Paulina, why? Why are you still there? You need to go then, right? Like, if it just makes me so upset. Like, if you have found a few times that there have been inappropriate DMs happening, I don't understand why you're still there.
Well, I mean, she's living on her own. He's living on his own. So she's there, they're together, but not. So maybe that is her just way of keeping some distance and punishing him in a way. But it almost feels like it's rewarding that behavior, because now he's by himself in this bachelor pad. He's looking out the window at these girls all around. Like, you know, that almost is giving him more opportunity to misbehave. So
I also think the proof is in the reactions of the rest of the group. Like, Gigi got those messages from Paulina and was just like, I'm high and I'm eating pie. Leave me alone.
Right.
You know, like, it wasn't like, what? Oh my God, are you okay? So none of this seems to be a surprise to anyone.
I know. And then it puts them in a weird position of what are they supposed to say to Paulina? Because she's probably looking for them to overreact and just be like, oh my God, this is horrible. He shouldn't be doing this to you. And all of that may be true, but from what they know of him and his past, they're not surprised by it at all. I'm a little surprised. Just a touch surprised.
You know, I'm not, only because I thought Jessica was perfect. She converted to Judaism for Mike. And if he couldn't stay faithful to her, nothing surprises me now.
Yeah, that's true. But if not Paulina, who? Who will it be, Mike? Where is your twin flame? Remember, didn't he say that in an interview years ago on this show?
Madison talked about it.
Is Madison his twin flame?
Oh my God, that would be an insane couple.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
Okay, Beverly Hills?
Yes. Is there anything more Beverly Hills than starting the season with a nose job?
No, not really.
It's very funny to me.
I will say, Kyle does look pretty different with it, right?
I think she looks fresher.
Yeah. It's no shade because, I mean, hello, this is Bravo, and every one of our talent seems to get something done at some point, you know? And it's like,
right,
1 minute fans are critical of the way they look before plastic surgery, and then they're critical of the way they look after. So I'm not being critical of Kyle, but it just does change her face in a way that I didn't expect.
Well, I mean, a nose job's pretty major. So like, yeah. And I thought it was interesting that the doctors told her it'll make you look younger, because that is like that in the ears are like the things that don't stop growing.
Right.
So like they sort of age you in a way that you don't expect them to, I guess, or you don't notice until it's different.
Is there such a thing as an ear reduction surgery?
Yes.
There is.
Yes.
Or is that just a facelift?
No, so you can basically snip the,
what do you call that?
The lobes. Mm-hmm. You shave them down, I guess. I don't know.
Oh my God. I mean, if you did that, you'd have to do the nose, right? You'd have to balance all of it out. You can't just do one or the other. So maybe Kyle might have to do her ears next. I'm just saying. Okay, I want to talk about Rinna making the choice to apologize to Garcelle, right?
I am so confused by that.
Well, me too. I think that was Rinna's way of moving forward with a fellow cast member that's still on the show and trying to put last season behind them. But for Garcelle, it's coming across as a little fake, right? Because did Rinna apologize to Denise, or did that never happen? You know?
It doesn't, like, first of all, why does Rinna owe Garcelle anything? The whole situation was between Rinna and Denise. And yeah, I get Garcelle saying, if you treat your friend like that, how are you going to treat me? Fair. But Rinna, I don't understand why her solution was then to apologize to Garcelle.
I don't know.
It was weird. I don't understand. I think it was just a way of like tying up last season in a bow and like moving on.
Well, yeah, starting the season off on the right foot. I get that. You want to let bygones be bygones and all of that. But as we learn later on in the episode, in a conversation between Garcelle and Sutton, you know, Garcelle's not going to just automatically trust Rinna again. I'm not sure who on this cast fully trusts Rinna at this point. You know, I think they've all learned their lesson over the years. So I appreciate that Garcelle is like, I hear you, I accept, thank you, sure, we can move forward. But Garcelle's not going to go and run to Rinna and start telling her business or anybody else's. So I think she knows better at this point.
It takes more than one drink to fix our friendship.
This is an interesting question. Who on this cast then would, and I know you don't know them personally, but would you say that you could trust the most to keep your secrets from A, the rest of the group, and not B, bring them out to make a good season of a show?
My first instinct, which I'm surprised by myself, is Dorit.
Mm.
And only because I'd like to think that at a certain point, Dorit had shared some secrets with me, because I suspect that she has them. And then I would feel comfortable going to her because I already knew something about her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be my, what about you? Who would you say?
I guess I do think Garcelle, in that I think that Garcelle is the least concerned with the drama, so to speak. Like, I don't think that she's as gossipy as the others.
Yeah. I don't think she would sacrifice an authentic relationship or friendship that she was building with someone on this cast to cause drama, like what you're saying. Yeah,
right.
I agree.
Right.
I agree. I think Garcelle and Dorit might be our safest bets. And maybe Kyle. Probably Kyle.
Although you have to remember with Dorit last season, she's the one who said at Rinna's daughter's function, she's like, guys, guess what Sutton just said to me? And like Sutton was sitting right there.
Okay, maybe not always Dorit, but like it's only if I knew her secrets would I trust to go.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Then
exactly.
It would be,
yeah, mutual exactly. Destruction.
Wait, I also want to point out the beautiful hair clip moment that Garcelle gave Dorit, I think as a nod to her reunion look from a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that cute?
It was cute.
And her little fish named after
Doreen Kyle. The ordinary one is Kyle.
Just a little bit of shade.
Oh, my God. Okay. So I want to talk about Kathy, but I want to start by saying, can you believe Kathy thought Garcelle was Kyle?
How did that happen? How bad are her eyes?
They must be, she's like Mr. Magoo. Like, I think they're really bad.
I mean, they have to be. It's like, come on. Isn't Garcelle also much taller than Kyle? Maybe not much taller, but Kyle's a little thing.
Are we pretending that's the only difference between them?
No. I just didn't want that to be the first one. I think it's quite obvious why it's even worse that she would confuse the two. But, you know, there are a lot of differences between them is my point.
How are you?
Good.
Wait,
how
I thought you were Kyle. I'm not kidding.
I get that all the time.
With this mouth, with the hair, and I'm thinking all she really has it all out there.
That's actually Garcelle. Remember Garcelle? The one your sister was fighting with last year?
What did you think about Kathy? I mean, I have to say, she seems like such a wackadoo in like such a good way, but a wackadoo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she will be one of those people she's not going to put on a front. I don't think she's going to try to put on this Beverly Hills air that we might get from some other people.
Yeah, she's like a stone cold weirdo,
yeah,
but is okay with it.
Well, she has been in the spotlight for a lot longer, and her kids have been through, I mean, mostly Paris, but her kids have been through a lot more in the spotlight. And I think she might not take herself as seriously as some of the other women on the show. And that's important.
Right. But the whole dental work thing as a kid.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
It's weird.
Do I bring my scissors with me and my dental supplies?
Oh, my God. You must.
I've always liked to play games. And when I was little, I would gather all the children in the neighborhood to come over. And I would do dental work on them. You know, Kim and Kyle would be my little assistants. And I'd say, all right, walnut pick. And then Kyle would hand it to me. And the kids would be like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm like, if you want to come back here and play, you're going to let me do this. So I was a character.
After those kids went home to their parents, we kind of went into hiding. We were scared.
That's weird. That's serial killer
right
behavior.
What do you think about Crystal?
I like Crystal. I like her. I love her proximity to real Hollywood fame, you know, like her husband and everything. I'm still warming up to her in a way that I'm trying to gauge her personality.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was an interesting way that we met her first, just having a few of the women over, and it wasn't like a group setting where she was able to walk in and meet everyone. And I think you get a little bit of a better idea of what the dynamic will be when you get a big group interaction, which by the end of the episode, we do get, you know, all of the women together. I love when we get full cast in the first episode, but I'm still figuring her out, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was so shady of the producer, because Crystal was like, you know, what I've learned is that if you don't know who someone is, they're probably not worth knowing. And the producer was like, well, do you know Dorit? And she was like, no. Like, so mean. And out of like, no,
I know.
Like, by the way, I don't feel like Dorit ever has claimed to be someone. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, unnecessary, producer. Unnecessary.
Yeah. They had to give her a little something. They had to give her a moment of shade in the first episode to somebody. And Dorit was just, you know, closest in proximity at that time.
I am in love with Jagger, by the way. He is
so cute.
The fact that at the beginning of the episode, he's threatening his mom, well, I guess you're not getting any more hugs or kisses if you don't carry me downstairs.
I know. He knows.
He knows how to withhold love. And then at the end when he's like, Mommy, you don't look very good.
Right, right. I will say, you know, obviously we're getting to the Erica of it all.
Oh, right.
But when a lot of the stuff initially hit the press a few months back, there was a video, you know, floating around from a couple seasons ago when Jagger points at Erica.
You're the bad guy.
You're the bad guy. And it's like, oh, that's funny. Not Erica. No, no, no. So it just, you know, Jagger is one of those kids. Like, you just say what comes on your mind. Kids say the darndest things. But it's just funny to see him behave in this episode and, you know, be critical of Dorit's outfit and no more hugs and kisses. And then thinking of that moment, I'm like, Jagger, you're going to be a good housewife one day.
Yeah. You know, also, I always wonder how embarrassing it must be for parents when their kids say those kinds of things. And then how embarrassing would it be now for Dorit that, like, that is the video making the rounds when all the stuff with Erica hit the press?
I know.
Okay, so yeah, Erica. Huh.
Huh.
Okay.
I have two thoughts from this episode alone. The first one was closer to the beginning of the episode when we're catching up with everybody. And Erica says, you know, during the pandemic, Tom and I sat down, had dinner every night, talked every night.
Mm.
What did you talk about, Erica, in all of those dinners? Okay, so that's, you know, one thing. And I thought that was a nice way to set up what we all believed their relationship to be, which was this connection, authentic connection, kind of an agreement, kind of an arrangement, whatever. But we've all, I think, respected their relationship for a long time.
Oh, so hearing, for sure. I have.
You know, right. So hearing that at the beginning was one thing, and it was one setup that I thought was really important. And then towards the end of the episode, we learn all of this stuff about Erica being on antidepressants and going through a lot. And, you know, she talks about in her interview something about, like, things that the ladies just aren't aware of, that they don't know.
Right.
And it's a little bit cryptic.
There's a lot these ladies don't know about my personal life.
Yes. So that was a little cryptic. And I'm very curious to know when that interview bite was filmed, because, you know, we know that interviews happen early on in the season. They happen maybe halfway through and then a little bit later on. They're kind of structured. You can tell because the women are in different interview looks. So I'd love to know the timing of that, like when things hit the press and whatnot. But yeah, they're definitely setting us up for a season of what is the truth, what is the lie.
There's so much that these women don't know about my life and about my personal life. Because you know what? Everyone has problems. Everyone. And the bigger your life is, the bigger your problems are.
Mm.
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are two things that we're sort of going to be talking about this season. And it's important to sort of distinguish them. One is the dissolution of their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the legal stuff. And I think that while obviously there's being a there's a connection already being made between the two, Like, what if they're just separate of each other, you know?
Right. Does one inform the other? We're not sure yet.
So I think not talking about the legal stuff and just the timeline of the marriage stuff. Yeah. Did she know at this point that, like, she was headed for a divorce? I think is my question. And I would think so. I would think it.
Right.
I would think that things weren't going great. Maybe she didn't know how it was going to end, but she just, they weren't going well.
Interesting. That'll be, yeah, that actually is a good observation, because I think what they talked about at dinner every night during the pandemic, maybe it was, what do we really want from each other? What's really happening in this relationship?
Yeah.
Do we want to stay together? And then that interview bite at the end, the ladies don't really know what's going on in my personal life, was either the legal stuff that's going to come up or
yeah,
her marriage falling apart.
Yeah. Mm. I'm excited.
It's going to be a good season. Also, Mauricio looks fine as hell. Final thought. So I spoke with Sutton Strack from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills about being an official diamond holder this season, her upcoming drama with Crystal Kung Minkoff, and what Kyle and Mauricio are really like as landlords. Here's that interview. All right, guys, we are here with my darling, Sutton Strack from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Sutton, what's going on?
Oh, gosh, just another day here in L.A., sunny LA.
Sunny weather. Well, we got sunny weather here too in New York, okay? Because it's spring and that's what happens here in the spring.
Listen, this is not a competition, okay, Eric?
Okay, fine.
Calm down.
Well, congratulations, first of all, on becoming a full-time official diamond holder this season. I feel like you've deserved it for so long. How does it feel?
Well, not so long, because, you know, it's not been, that's only second season.
True.
It feels really good. You know, I don't know. I went into second season just like I did the first season, and just to explore and kind of continue this process that I, for some reason, really enjoy. It's fun for me, and it's fun to kind of grow doing this show. So to get the extra honor of having a diamond is just, it's the diamond on top of the sundae, so to speak. So thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, we know there is some drama coming this season with Crystal. So can you set up a little bit of what we're going to see between the two of you?
No, I think that personalities kind of can clash sometimes. And I know that I can be a little difficult to get to know at first, and people don't take to me in the very beginning. So, you know, there's always that different.
Always some bumps in the road at the beginning.
You know, if there aren't bumps in the road, then you can't enjoy the smooth ride that can come later.
That is true. I like that metaphor. That's nice. Yeah. So did you actually hate her leather pants, or did you just say?
I don't know. Things come out of my mouth sometimes. I don't know.
You're like, they were fine. Your face says it all. I wish our listeners could see your face right now.
Well, I'm smiling, right. Eric. I'm smiling.
It is a smile. It is a very nice smile. I mean, there's also a tense moment between you and Erica, too, that we see in the trailer. So first, I love that you don't back down in that moment. I think it's just such an incredible moment. But can you tease a little bit about what's to come with all of the Girardi drama?
You know, I don't know. It was a very, I think for me, tense part of our season. And, you know, I only wish Erica the best. And I hated seeing a friend go through such a traumatic thing in her life. For me personally, with what kind of happened between us, I grew a lot and had to kind of not only grow emotionally, but grow kind of my backbone had to be fissured a little bit. So I guess that growth process is part of the season.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that, because I know that moment is, there's a lot that's going to build up to get us there. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Yeah. Well, let's talk about something a little positive. I want to talk about your friendship with Garcelle, because, you know, it's grown a lot since last season. Yeah. So talk about going into this season, where you and Garcelle were.
Yeah. Well, we, I don't know, every time I can't say her name without laughing. I don't know why. She makes me laugh. And honestly, I think we look at each other, we just like bust up. We had a couple of times last summer after filming where we just got to know each other a lot more on a more personal level. We have a lot in common. You know, we're both single working mothers, and our boys are, my youngest is about the same age as her twins. So the trials and tribulations of that really bond people. And I don't know, we just like hanging out and relaxing together. And she's just funny. I think she's funny. She thinks I'm funny. So then there, you know, if she can get my humor, then that's everything, because I have a kind of strange sense of humor. So she must have also a strange sense of humor because she thinks I'm funny.
Right.
Or she likes to laugh at me. Maybe she's laughing at me where I'm laughing with myself. She's laughing at me, but I think she's kind of laughing with me.
Right. It's a fine line sometimes.
Sometimes she's probably secretly laughing at me, but I'm like, of course, I'll laugh with me, right?
She's like, mm-hmm, yes, Sutton, of course.
Whatever you say.
Well, going into the season, was there anyone in the cast that you weren't really looking forward to spending time with again?
No, I mean, I was looking forward to seeing everybody. You know, the summertime is always, and it was seriously COVID. So I mean, honestly, the devil himself could have been cast, and I would have been like, hey, a person that's not like my children, and Joshua, my assistant, and Jordan, my store director, because that's basically who I hung out with all summer.
Right.
I was happy to see anybody, to be honest. Oh, you're COVID free. Come on in, devil. Because I was like, whatever. It was just nice to see. It was nice to see everybody. It was nice to see everybody healthy and safe, and to know that everybody's families were healthy and safe. So no, it was actually a really nice reunion.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we all kind of felt that way. Like, we just needed to socialize, right? You just wanted to get out and have a conversation with someone that wasn't in your household.
Yeah. I mean, because I think we were all really strict about our bubbles and that we lived in. And so when we finally got to interact with one another and kind of catch up, it was great. It really was. It was great to see all of their faces and just hear everybody's laughs again and see what everybody was wearing.
Of course, I mean, always.
I think we all had something seriously in common over the COVID summer, which was we shopped a lot online.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing.
But else. Had nowhere to wear the clothes.
Yeah, we did. Well, then now we did. We were like, well, even if it's just the eight of us, we have all these clothes to wear. So it was really fun to see what everybody had been shopping for all summer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone looks great in the premiere episode, at the party, at Dorit's. Everyone shows up looking good.
And it was so nice to actually go to Dorit's house, which wasn't my house. My children weren't there. And to like wear shoes and not pajamas and put on a dress and wear makeup. So it was actually such a treat. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the first episode too, you mentioned to Garcelle that Denise hadn't returned your text. Mm. So why do you think that is?
I think that Denise probably had some really hurt feelings. She did reach out to me one time about my niece who had passed away a few years before. And I think I posted something about her, and she sent me like well wishes about that to my family. I think she had some hurt feelings and probably was reluctant to kind of get back involved with us crazy ladies. And I don't blame her.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, of course. Well, Rinna apologizes to Garcelle, but Garcelle isn't totally buying it. So what was your take on the conversation that Garcelle told you about between her and Rinna?
Well, so I thought everything was good between Lisa and Garcelle, because I had talked to Lisa about it. So I was kind of surprised to hear Garcelle's take on it. And for me, it's just like, well, y'all got to go back to the drawing board. You got to fix it, because I honestly, like, we can't start like this. Y'all got to like sincerely fix this. But I understand Garcelle's concern, because I think she saw something in a longtime friend, Lisa, that she maybe got scared of, and how Lisa really hurt Denise. And there's a fear factor in that.
Yeah.
And to heal that, I think, is more than just I'm sorry, Garcelle. It's more than that. And so time, that's a time issue.
Yeah. Well, and it's like a trust issue too, right? Like,
yeah,
Garcelle's like, how much can I actually trust after what you put Denise through? Now, do you know at this point if Rinna has spoken to Denise, if there's been a conversation or an apology between the two of them.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that they've spoken at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be a friendship that is left in the past.
Severed. Yeah. It might be. Sometimes that happens, you know, and you have to kind of come to grips with the fact that maybe you lost a friendship.
Right.
And it's like a death. You have to kind of really come to terms with it and kind of get yourself together and keep walking.
Yeah. Well, and maybe, you know, this season, Rinna can put that energy into rebuilding a stronger relationship with Garcelle.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to kind of repair what happened between she and Denise, is make that one better. So I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. How are Kyle and Mauricio as landlords?
The Ropers. They're good. They wanted to do too much. They were like, let us paint the whole inside of the house and we need to fix this and this and this. And I'm like, no, my kids are only going to mess it up.
Right.
So they were like, you know, I'm like, no, don't do that. It's too much. So they actually wanted to go overboard. They're so nice. Though I will say, the first weekend that I moved in, who's at my door but Mauricio. I'm like, is this going to be every Sunday? Am I going to see, like, at least bring donuts, Mauricio?
Right.
do something. But no, they're so nice. And I got so lucky that this house was available for me to rent. Otherwise, I was going to use the boxes that were left over from moving to, like, I don't know, I was going to move into my tennis court while my house was being renovated.
It's a tent.
Yeah, seriously. Because it was a very fast move and kind of unexpected. So I got lucky that they let me rent this house with my three children, four dogs, and three cats, and a film crew. You know, that's a big ask.
Right.
And they just, you know, they're so sweet. And I mean, I do pay them, so they're not that sweet. It's not free.
But they gave you a deal.
They gave me a deal. no, they did. I mean, they did. I got the friends and family discount, which was really nice. But it's a great house and it's perfect for us. And I'm still, you know, still here. So,
are you still there now?
I'm never leaving. Yes, I'm never leaving. And I'm going to take them back up on the paint job that they offered in the beginning, now 8 months later. But no, it's been great. So they're fine landlords.
Right.
I highly recommend them.
Well, then what's the deal with the new house? When are you going to be able to move in?
Would you like to get my contractor on the phone and we can talk?
Yeah, let's get him on here. I have some questions for him.
Let's call him. Let's get him on the spot.
You're like, I'm just waiting.
I'm waiting. Apparently I'm waiting on a stove. And I'm like, I think that there's more.
You're like,
to
I'll
it
order
than
out.
Totally. It's called Postmates. I got this.
Right. Well, I hope you can get into the new place soon. Cause I know it kind of, you know, as much as you're settled at Kyle and Mauricio's house, like, you want your own space.
No, it's coming. It's coming. I think I've got a set of French doors. And then I did decide to add a Juliet balcony to my master. But, you know, you go every now and then, you just want to add those little finishing touches, but it's almost done. So we're getting very close.
Great.
It was a bigger project. I thought we would be there like after 2 months, but that just, I know. And Kyle kept laughing every time she would come over. She's like, you know, that this is nowhere near being finished. And I was like, I think it looks pretty good. And we're standing in rubble. I think it looks great.
No walls.
She's like, Sutton, you were completely delusional. And then she would drive by and there's a huge hole in my house. You could see from the front all the way to the back door, up to the backyard. And she was like, Sutton, she would call me and go, it looks like a World War II bomb just went through your house. I could see all the way. You're not moving out of my house anytime soon. I'm like, oh no, I think it's going to be like in a couple of weeks. She's like, Sutton, what is wrong with you? Face the facts.
She knows. Did you feel like when she came to your house to visit, she had like a sense of nostalgia because she had been in that house for so long?
Yeah. And she also knew where all the lights were. And I didn't know all the light switches were. So she was walking around turning all of the lights on. I'm like, well, thanks, Kyle. I'm sorry. I didn't have the lights on for you because I just got here like 2 days ago.
Right.
So yeah, she has a sense of ownership because she actually owns this house and she loves it. It's so sweet to see her really talk about it and the memories that she had here. she doesn't want to let go.
Yeah.
The apron string is long and thick to this house. And I don't know if Mauricio is going to sell this house. I think she's going to hold on to it.
Right. I mean, Kyle gets very tethered to her family and things that connect her to her family. So I can imagine, I don't know if that house is going out of that.
You know? I don't think it is either. I think she's happy for me to keep renting for as long as possible.
Right. So she can just stop by. Hey.
And not sell it.
Right.
I think it's a good,
Well, her sister Kathy is present this season. And from what we've seen so far, just in the trailer and even in the first episode, she seems like a little kooky. So what are we going to get from her this season?
A little kooky.
Yeah.
Yeah. But listen, you know, I'm a little kooky. So I'm like, oh, she speaks my language.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, she's one of us. So I don't know. I totally get her sense of humor and, you know, she's a little off and lives in her own world. And I love her world. Like, I want to move to Kathy's world.
Right. Just spend a day completely in her mind.
Oh my God. Yeah. If I could just spend a day in Kathy's world, you know, I would be a squatter. I would move from, you know, Kyle's house to Kathy's world and just live there forever.
Right. Right. Do you feel like seeing her relationship with Kyle helps you understand them better, get to know Kyle better?
You know, I am an older sister. I too am a little bossy with my little brother, even though he's, you know, 46 and 6'2".
right.
I am still bossy with him. I tell him what to do and I tell him how to do it right. Like, he does stuff, but I'm like, I know how to do it better. So I understand that dynamic in a sibling relationship. And for me, it was just funny to watch. I don't know if it's going to be funny for Kyle. I think it's funny because I understand it so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be funny for Kyle because at this point she just like accepts her family for what they are, you know?
Yeah. And I think Kyle may inherit some of my eye rolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because sometimes you just need an eye roll, you know, don't let it roll off your back in an eye roll.
Well, also we love an eye roll because then people make gifts of it and then they live on forever. Yeah. So it's perfect. So how is the Sutton Boutique doing?
It's doing well. You know, it was, of course we opened September, 2019 and then have to shut down like 5 months later.
Right.
So it was a tough kind of year for us, but we spent the time really working on our website and our Instagram and doing all of our online sales stuff. So that has kept us going. And we also got to spend some time adding some new designers to the store, which has been fun. I couldn't travel, so I have now become quite adept at the online auctions.
Oh.
And I know, so I get like addicted to those and it's fun to do them. They're very fast paced and no one can talk to me for a few hours while I'm doing it. So that I can find my silver and all the things that I usually shop for when I travel. So, you know, you have to kind of adapt but we're doing great. And hopefully we'll be able to like do our events again soon, because that's really one of the draws that we like to celebrate. If we get a new artist that comes in, or if we get a new designer that comes in, we have a new, really beautiful furniture line that we've gotten, and we would love to be able to celebrate him and bring him into the store and have people see his work. So, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But we're doing good. Surprisingly, I'm like, we made it. So we had our first year anniversary in September. So climbing to our second anniversary and just want to keep going.
That's great. Well, congratulations. Yes. So is the storefront actually open yet?
Or? Yeah, we're open.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, it is. And so street traffic, because I'm on a small street in West Hollywood, it's not a high foot traffic area.
Right.
We got to get that back going. And the way we do that is through events. So we're not allowed to have, you know, more than, I don't know, like 10 people in the store at one time.
Yeah.
So as soon as that is lifted and we can have like an event for 50 people, that's going to be what really kind of drives our foot traffic. So right now it's really just online, which is great. You know, we get people in the store, but people like their muscle memory needs to get turned back on to, because we're really kind of a destination store, not it's not like Rodeo Drive, you know, people aren't
like you're just passing by, let me pop in.
So but we'll
hopefully
there.
for the 2-year anniversary, maybe you could throw a nice little party.
Well, we're definitely gonna throw a party. Are you kidding? And hopefully we can have more than 50 people there. And we have a really pretty courtyard in the back, and you know, it's a really sweet spot. So yeah, we love it. We're doing good. Thank you for asking.
That's awesome. Oh yeah, of course. You mentioned earlier that you and Garcelle are both single ladies. So what's going on in your romantic life? There's no one who's got your attention right now?
Yeah, you know, there's always a little glimmer.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know. Being single at the ripe age of 49 is challenging, and then add on all of the other things that I do, it's maybe intimidating for some people.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
So, you know, takes a strong man that wants to hang out with me, and one that doesn't mind just this crazy life that I live. And but yeah, I think there's some prospects out there. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Now,
I mean, I'm not bad looking, but at least there's that.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not Cindy Crawford, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, from your cast, who would you trust to set you up with a guy?
Oh, my God. Dorit's already trying to get into the mix on this. And I'm like, Dorit, no. They got Kyle and Dorit got a hold of my phone to go through my Bumble. And I was like, this is the scariest thing that has ever happened to me.
Terrifying. Yeah.
Oh my God. Dorit was terrifying. And she wanted to change all of my things that I had put in, the qualifications. I was like, Dorit, no, this is not okay with me.
You're like, I already set those to my standards.
I set those for a reason. So Dorit might be off the, she's not,
she's
I don't
fired.
Know if she can. She's not fired. She can be one of the ladies in waiting, but I don't know if she's like the top one. You know, I'm really cheering for Kathy Hilton.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think she would be a good one.
That's true. You hear like, that, Kathy?
Yeah.
Send Kathy, a single man over.
Come on.
Now I am in a relationship now, but I do remember being on the apps, and it was the scariest thing when you hand the app over to your friends who are in relationships, and then they want to play the game. You know, they think of it as a game. They're like, I want to play.
Oh my God. No. Well, so actually Dorit said this, she goes, Kyle, we have to get this app. I mean, that's not
no.
what it's for. It is not a TV show to watch. This
right.
is not what you're supposed to be doing. you know what's funny? It's you do find the strangest things. I've had several that are like in an open marriage. And I'm like, that is definitely a swipe left.
Goodbye.
Bye. That needs to be a separate app. That maybe there is
right.
one.
Like, I think there might be. There's an app for everything these days.
They need to stay in that section of the store, because don't come into the single section of the store. Stay in the married looking, open marriage looking for whatever that person would be, that which is fine. Do that. But don't come into my section of the store.
Right.
Don't do that.
No shopping over here.
No, it's like a cute face, and you read down at the very last sentence.
Of course,
is you know, it's like in an open marriage, and just you know, no,
not for me.
No, it's just not for me. But thank you.
Well, Sutton, thank you so much for chatting with us today. Now that we know all of your qualifications for a man, we'll keep our eyes peeled for any single dudes for you.
Okay, thank you, Eric. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And Garcelle. And
that's
Garcelle.
True. Yes, Garcelle needs one too.
Yeah, I'm not alone in this. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sutton. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Jersey?
Yes.
Okay, I want to be all in and supportive of Teresa and this relationship with Louis. I do. But he is all up in there, isn't he? He has an investment property with Teresa at this point. He drove Joe Gorga to the hospital when he had kidney stones. He has hired Frankie to work for him at this point. It seems like a lot really quickly, right?
Yeah. You know, I guess the red flag for me was more so that Andy asked her brother, Joe Gorga, so what do you think about Louis? Now, remember, all season, Joe Gorga has been like, he's amazing. He treats my sister right. He loves her.
Yes.
And when Andy asked him this time, he said, yeah, I like him.
Very different reaction.
Exactly. So like, what is happening?
I don't know. And the same thing in the after show. Joe Gorga was like all in, thought Louis was the best, was happy for Teresa. And there was definitely a big difference in the way he responded to Andy's question this time around. So there's something there, I think.
Yeah.
Eek. I know I shouldn't have laughed as hard as I did, but when Teresa made the comment to Margaret about how she wouldn't have plumber married to a plumber in her Instagram bio, I lost it. I really did. And I feel bad because I love Margaret and Joe.
Maybe she's proud that she's married to a plastic 100% surgeon.
100% I'm proud.
I mean, I don't think you would say you're married to a plumber.
What? Why? What's wrong with being a plumber?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, he's a doctor.
You know what? I know what that means, Teresa. Not a nice thing.
It's funny your reaction was to laugh. Mine was like, like, I couldn't believe she said that.
It was such a Teresa being so unaware of how offensive she was being moment.
Oh, I think she knew.
Well, I think she definitely was taking a dig in that she knows or she believes there is a significant difference in being a plumber and a plastic surgeon. And I just still don't think she recognizes and even clocks in her mind how rude that is, not just to Margaret, but to Joe. And I don't think she would want to necessarily hurt Joe like that, but maybe she would.
Yeah, and also not to mention all the other plumbers and plumbers' wives out there, you know, like
right.
Very, okay, but I want to know what happened, because why was it so team Teresa and Jennifer on one side and team Margaret and Melissa and Jackie on the other? Like, what happened?
Like, since the season wrapped, you mean?
Yeah, because Teresa and Margaret were fine all season. So why was she coming at Margaret so hard? Like, anything Jennifer said, Teresa backed up.
It's interesting. Teresa probably feels a certain loyalty to Jennifer, because Jennifer has incessantly had her back, even to a point in which it's kind of questionable, right? Like, are you aligning yourself with Teresa because you are that close with her and you're such good friends? Or do you feel like your proximity to the only OG on the show protects you in some way?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I get why Jennifer has to, you know, suck up to Teresa, but I don't get the other way around.
Right. Yes, that's true. I think that's still a big question mark for a lot of the women too.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, Jennifer to me is always especially vicious at reunions. And I swear she had someone write this line for her. Because, like, in the moment, it was too clever. But she was saying to Margaret, I wouldn't expect you to recognize family if it pulled on your pigtails.
I know, right? That does seem like a copywriter had something to do with that.
That's something, like, I would have come up with, like, behind a computer screen. Like, haha, you should say this.
Right. I mean, you know, to be fair, Margaret has made some serious digs at Jennifer as well. And I think at this point, Margaret should know Jennifer a little bit better because they've been on the show for a while. And yes, Jennifer is materialistic and she leans into that. And sometimes it feels like she is playing a bit of a character on that front.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have seen that her family has really kept her grounded in a lot of ways. And when everyone was kind of spinning that against her and saying, well, your storyline is always about your family, your mom was embarrassed, all of these things, you know, Jennifer is showing us the good, the bad, the ugly of her life. So I kind of felt bad that everyone was attacking her for that. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't. I feel the same way because I do think that it's a natural reaction, what her mom is feeling, and that, like, you threw me under the bus. Like, I get that, but I don't think that was Jennifer's intent. I think she was just trying to show what was happening.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And for Melissa to try to use Jennifer's family as, you know, you don't have a storyline because it's always about your family. I mean, Melissa came onto the show as Teresa's sister-in-law. So
right.
A lot of the early seasons of Jersey were about family drama and the good, the bad, the ugly that they all went through together.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why Jennifer showcasing what's happening in her life, which is very real to Jennifer, is any different than that. I don't know.
What did you think about the Joe Melissa stuff?
I appreciate that the whole conversation about, is this a forced storyline? Are you guys really going through this? What's the deal? I'm glad that that came up. And I'm also really glad to hear that the underlying theme was fame. It's not just about success and Melissa going out all the time. It's about fame. And I appreciated Teresa. One of the more insightful things that I think she said in a long time was, fame does change Melissa. It changes everyone. You know, she even can recognize in herself and probably the rest of her castmates that it changed them in a lot of ways.
Do you think that fame has changed Melissa?
Yeah. I think it changes everyone.
Yes.
It has to. It has to change you. I even think about this a lot too, like, you do have to drink your own Kool-Aid a little bit, I think, to be successful as any sort of public-facing personality. Because it's like, I think about how I hate photos of myself. Like, every photo of me, I hate, basically. So I could never be successful in any sort of, like, personality route because you have to love yourself a little bit because you have to put yourself out there constantly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So I think that it's naive to think that someone wouldn't be into themselves if they're famous in any way.
I mean, you want to have other people buy into you, so you have to buy into yourself.
Exactly.
And that's a fine line from whether you are smart enough, talented enough, whatever it may be, you know, like you do have to buy your own bullshit a little bit if you want to be successful in this business that Melissa is in and this business that all of these women are in. So I think everybody is making that observation about each other. And, you know, even just looking at Margaret and the work that she's had done, you know, she's said that when you're on TV and you see yourself from these different angles, you want to change things about yourself. And it's similar to what you're saying about when you see pictures of yourself and you're just like, oh, I hate that angle or whatever it may be. You know, it's just, it is really tough to put yourself out there because your insecurities are going to rise in that experience. And then you're going to have to figure out how to manage that. And sometimes that turns into just like I said, buying your own bullshit.
Yeah. I will say I was, the whole season I have been like, is this, how real is this Joe Melissa thing? I started to feel like it's definitely very real when they talked about how it was off camera, Melissa going like hard every night at events and stuff for 6 months. That rings very familiar to me.
Yeah.
Just in that I feel like a year before my split, I was out all the time. And I wasn't putting it together at the time. But looking back, it's not about the going out. It's about the not wanting to be at home, you know? And so I do worry now a little bit about them. And I hope that it's all okay.
I know. Well, Dolores said it, right? She was like, I don't feel we're headed for divorce, but this feels like a real issue that they're going through. And
yeah,
why wouldn't they be after 16 years of marriage, 6 months of these up and downs and Melissa being out all the time, and now then all into pandemic experience, you know, that's going to have an effect on their relationship, of course.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into the Joe Giudice stuff, because I feel like Teresa seems to be very stubborn as a Taurus. Her birthday is the day before mine. Actually, technically today when we're recording. as a Taurus, Teresa is very stubborn, right? And she wants to maintain this relationship with her ex Joe because they're still co-parenting. He might not be around, but he is still a significant part of their daughter's lives. And she's still sticking by him in ways that I don't know if everybody expected she would, but if she wants to do that, she needs to put him in his place a little bit, because what keeps coming up is that all of this stuff that's happening in the press, it's affecting not just Joe and Melissa, but Gia, it's affecting Antonia, it's affecting the whole family. The kids now are being affected by it because they're exposed to it in ways that they might not have been before.
Right.
So I think it's almost Teresa's responsibility. If she's the one who's going to maintain this relationship with her ex, she needs to let him know he has to watch what he says in the press.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just think it's not worth it for her right now to be defending him. Like, I agree that it does Joe Gorga no favors to talk badly about his niece's father, because that's always going to be their dad. But like, Teresa just, she needs to stop defending Joe Giudice blindly.
Yeah. She seemed to reel it in a little bit during this reunion. I think she's come to his defense a little more often in the past, but it seems like this time around she recognized a little bit that she needs to maybe stick closer to her family that's literally here with her.
I do think it's also like to attack her ex-husband is sort of to admit her own wrongdoing in a way. I think like getting divorced, you're already feeling like, oh my God, I was wrong. Like you know, even if that's not the case, you were wrong about something. And so then to keep leaning into like how he's bad in all these different ways, it's just admitting like your own fault, I think.
Right. Yeah. And Teresa always says like,
you were with him for so long.
And she always says, I'm loyal. I believe in loyalty. I'm loyalty, blah, you know, godfather, family, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So I think all of that plays into her still feeling obligated to have his back in some ways because he's the father of her kids.
Right.
What do you think Louis thinks of the whole thing?
I'm curious. I'd be curious if he's jealous or supportive or what?
I think in the press, if someone were to ask him, he'd give a diplomatic answer.
Right.
But I don't think that's what he'd say behind closed doors.
I mean, look, if he wants a good relationship with Teresa's kids, he'll be very positive about Joe.
Right, right. Exactly. We shall see. New York?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think the real reason that these women don't send naked pics is just because they're famous?
Yeah, absolutely. But also, it's hard for me to believe that Sonia hasn't.
I know.
And that's no shade. That's just, she's fun and she's sexy, and why wouldn't she, you know?
Right. I mean, she's naked on camera all the time for us. So why not do it in private for a male suitor?
Right. Do you feel like you can no longer send nude photos because of your podcast fame?
I mean, look, something could go wrong very quickly.
Just don't show your face and it's fine.
I know, right? That, well, listen, I have too many tattoos at this point. That,
that's so true.
That are everywhere. So it's just too late. It's too late for me.
Poor Luann. I have to say, you know, she just wants love. She thinks she's found it with this guy, Garth, which is a terrible name. And
I know.
Why can't Sonia just let her have it?
I don't know. I don't. It's coming across a little jealous.
Yeah.
Right?
It has to be.
What are you talking about, Lou Garrett? If I have to hear Garrett again, I'm going to kill myself.
Garth. I feel like I definitely go the other way in a new relationship where I want to gush and I don't because I don't want to be annoying.
You don't want to be that person.
But that's not fun either, you know, because it's like, come on. Like when you're in love, like you just want to share it.
And it's pretty clear that Lou has feelings for this guy. You can see it on her face, especially when they FaceTime, she lights up. I mean, let's let her have it. She needs something positive in her life. She needs a good influence. He's into health. He seems to make her happy. Let's let her have it.
Yeah. Okay. How do you think Ramona handled the whole Ebony explaining why the help is not okay?
So what, last yesterday with Michelle, you mean? Michael and Diane?
Well, yeah. And then really the help comment was a little triggering for me. If I can share why.
Of course you can. I understand.
My grandma worked her whole life as a domestic.
That's it. So I'm sorry.
So you know why the help is not like the best way to refer to somebody?
Oh, no, I get it.
You get that.
No,
but, yeah.
No.
And I didn't think you meant it negative, Ramona. I mean, I'm getting really
like, I hire people to help me.
So to me, she helps me, and that's why, you know.
That's like a literal interpretation, so I see where that could possibly
make
sense.
Like, I usually do everything myself.
So you're using it literal. I get it. I think historically in our country, right, the help can make people feel maybe devalued, was the feeling I got.
Well, because I was very excited having everybody there, and I've never hired to be there.
No, it's all good. I didn't want to not say it to you.
Well, I appreciate it.
I think Ramona handled it in the only way Ramona knows how.
Yeah.
And she is one of the most awkward people ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think she accepted that constructive criticism the best way she knew how. And she even thanked Ebony. She was like, thank you for explaining that to me in a respectful way, you know, not getting aggressive, because I think she gets what we see, a very different reaction from Leah, which is understandable in a lot of ways. But I think she did an okay job for Ramona. And I hate being able like to make an exception for her and being like, well, for Ramona, it was fine. But that's holding her to a different standard. But that's Ramona, you know?
Yeah, I think that Ramona, her response would have been better had she said 50% less. She just can't help herself. And she just talks. And it's like she just wants to very quickly let Ebony know, I get it. Yes, you're right. But it's like, but it doesn't seem like you're listening.
Yeah.
So like, just listen. Don't be so quick to just not get canceled, as they kind of kept saying over and over in this episode.
Right.
Don't let it be about that. Like, let it be about just take a minute and learn.
Yeah. Well, and when I spoke to Ebony last week, I asked her, I was like, well, what are we going to see in this conversation with Ramona? Because we know you confront her about the comment she made. And she was like, well, Ramona did what Ramona does. And that's first try to push it off and say, well, let's talk about this later. You know, I don't want to talk about it now. And Ebony's like, well, if not now, then when? You want to schedule a time to talk? You know, because Ramona will do that initially. She'll be like, well, I'm having fun. We're having a good time. Let's not talk about it. But Ebony got through to her. And I appreciate that Ebony put in that time and effort, because she's still getting to know these women and she doesn't want to just let it go and push it off until later. She's like, no, Ramona, I feel a type of way. We're talking about it now. Let's just do it and get it over with.
Yeah.
And she really worked with Ramona on that. And it says a lot about Ebony's character.
I agree.
Now, Leah, on the other hand, I understand Leah wanting to make an example out of Ramona, but I also feel like even though Ramona knows she didn't donate the plasma, she believes that she did.
Right. Like, there is this weird thing with Ramona where I do think a person can convince themselves that they've done something. So maybe logically she knows that's not what happened, but she has since come to the conclusion that she did donate the plasma. So yes, I think in other circumstances, hold people accountable. But as Ebony says, like, you're not going to get the response you want. So just stop, Leah. You know?
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that's Leah's thing, right? She is trying so hard to mold Ramona into the way that she wants Ramona to be. And that I think all of us would like Ramona to be a little bit more. And that's just a little bit more aware, a little bit more understanding, a little bit more compassionate. A lot of things, right? We're looking for a lot of things from Ramona at this point. But it's true. It's sort of like, you know, thinking back on Sutton and Dorit. It's like, let the mouse go, Leah. You know, it's like you're not going to get the answer you want from Ramona. She essentially, in so many words, admitted that she didn't donate the plasma. And that was good enough for Ebony. It just wasn't good enough for Leah. And she just kept drilling it home, you know?
Yeah. Now, okay, here's the part where I am just very frustrated with Sonia. Is we know why Sonia gets so drunk so fast. And like we've talked about it on the show, I feel like a couple of seasons now. She takes some medication that does not, or it's like the water pill or something,
right,
that does not interact well with alcohol. She knows this. She says it's why she doesn't drink when she's not on camera. Why do you keep doing this to yourself then? Either stop with the pill when you're filming or stop with the drinking. But like this is, it's like insanity because we just keep getting the same result over and over and over.
Yes. And I have two thoughts on that as well. Because number one, Leah and Luann were both not drinking during this adventure. So yeah. Sonia, if she had chosen not to, she would have had other people there who were also staying sober, not drinking, whatever. So it wouldn't have just been, you know, an awkward situation if just she didn't drink. And second, why did we even go to a winery to begin with?
Yeah. I mean, it's like Leah said, it's almost like Luann wants to prove to herself that she can still be fun. And I don't doubt that, but I don't think you have to go to a vineyard to do that.
A vineyard and bring your own fake rosé.
Rosé.
Frosé. I mean, it does seem like alcohol and this group do not mix. They haven't mixed for a long time, you know?
Well, and I just think, especially when it comes to Luann, you know, because I was totally getting what Leah was trying to say to her. It's just like you're too close to the wanting to drink.
Right.
To be doing this, you know? Like, just give yourself some time and it's fine. Like, you don't have to be 100% right now, but don't push yourself too far. And if you're getting anxious going to a bar, don't be at a bar right now. You know, like, let's think of some other activities to do.
Yeah. Or do something like get seltzer, splash a lime, you know, and don't even fake yourself out with this frosé. You know, because that is
fosé.
Going to... Fosé. Fosé, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, not frosé.
Right, because it's
Frosé would be like rosé. A frozen rosé.
Yes.
And fosé is a fake rosé. Okay, I got it now.
Yes.
But it's true. I mean, like, if I were not drinking and someone gave me a fake glass of rosé, I'd be like, well, let me just have the real thing for all of that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Oof. I did get a thrill when Luann was like, I need to go out and have a cigarette. Because I feel like so often on Bravo, like we of hide it when our housewives are smoking. Like Dorinda could never hide it because I think she's, you know, like you always saw it. But there are so many housewives that I think people are not aware that they smoke because, you know, Bravo's responsible and like doesn't want, I guess, people to be thinking smoking's cool. But so it's funny. I do get a little bit like a glee when a housewife just admits like, yeah, I smoke. I smoke cigarettes.
Well, it's also the shot that we got was clearly a cameraman like hiding in the bushes, you know, and trying to just catch the land at the right moment. And she basically looked right at the camera, you know. It was just like, oh, we got you. We got you, Lou. Also, we got free advice on home ownership. Apparently.
Oh, yeah. Wells Fargo has the best rates.
Wells Fargo has best rates. Don't say that in front of Sonia, but know that Chase also doing a lot of work to help reduce the wealth gap. So
yeah,
there you go.
There you go.
If anyone needs a mortgage, you know where to go.
You want to talk about Wells Fargo? It's not my family!
Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
Oh my God, my rose is that Ebony admitted on this week of Real Housewives of New York City she used to work at Hooters. And I just think that's so great. I love that. Yay, Ebony.
Fried pickles.
Yeah.
I'll take two.
Tomorrow we're going for oysters. We're shucking oysters, which I haven't done since my Hooter days.
Oh, you used to work for Hooters?
You know I did.
I bet you got some big tips.
Big tip, big tips. Right. And most of all, my personality, Ramona.
Absolutely.
What's your rose?
I'm going to give my rose to Reza from Shaws of Sunset for his David from Schitt's Creek inspired interview look, like the black and red lightning bolt sweater type of thing he had on. It just, as soon as I saw it, I was like, is that from an official Schitt's Creek collection? Because I love it. What was your thorn?
So my thorn was from Below Deck Sailing Yacht. The boat crashed terribly into the dock, and Captain Glenn said it was one of the worst days in his career. And he is just, he seems like such a sweet man that seeing him having just the worst day ever at work, like, really broke my heart a little bit.
What's going on?
Slow down.
Ahead.
He's going ahead. I've lost it.
Ahead.
God damn it. I know. And that's so scary. It's one of those things that every time the boat docks on these shows, I'm waiting for it to happen. And it gives me anxiety. So I can't imagine how it must feel for them to actually have to dock and then experience a crash.
Yeah. What was your thorn?
Well, my thorn was Reza from Shaws of Sunset's sequined, maybe Luann-inspired interview look, like that necklace with the, right?
Yeah.
It looked like an old lady outfit that just did not really work for me. It's something about the sleeves. It didn't work for me.
I love that both of your Rose and Thornton were Reza looks.
I had to give them, you know, something and then take it away. And we will be back with an all new episode next week with special guest co-host MJ from Shaws of Sunset.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me one more time.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.